Nicholas, you need to stop. But I need to talk.
Yeah, well, the two of you just finished the scene. I don't know why my Francis Ford Coppola is Jackie Mason, but it is. Nicholas, will you stop this messing around?
Dad, can I have my allowance?
No. I have to get him under budget. Can't you understand, Sophia?
Can I keep this Girl Scout uniform?
Yes, my sweetheart.
Okay.
Tell your cousin to stop talking like that.
Nick, you're being a prick.
Stop it.
He turned into Gomer Pyle.
I love it.
She's the one I've been told. Well, she's wearing a band of gold. Peggy Sue got married not long ago.
Hello and welcome to The Great 80s, the Great 80s Movie Debate, where we see if the movies of the 1980s still hold up today. If you're a child of the 80s, a fan of classic films, or just a movie geek, you have come to the right place. Today we are discussing 1986's...
What
movie do we watch?
Peggy Sue Got Married.
Peggy Sue Got Married. That's exactly what we're doing. Directed by Francis Coppola. Not Francis Ford Coppola. Francis Sands Ford Coppola, and starring Kathleen Turner and Nicolas Cage. My name is Dave, and I am joined by one illustrious 80s expert. Her name is Christy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Christy Sue. Chatty, 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 chatty Christy Sue.
Time travel is possible for people, for dogs, for elephants, for can-can girls.
Yeah, that was a weird line.
Yeah.
Well, we are talking, even if I can't remember, about Peggy Sue Got Married. And usually we go through the host to see where we're coming from so y'all can get a glimpse into our history with the film. So, Christy, what is yours with Peggy Sue Got Married?
Pirated HBO. Yeah, that was it. Pirated HBO, I saw it and I loved it. And for some reason, I do not own it on digital. I do not own it on DVD. I'm going to have to find it.
Anyone that listens to the show regularly is just waiting to hear those words at the beginning of the show.
99% of the movies I saw, pirated HBO.
This is just changing the name of the show.
Yeah, just call it piratedhbo.com.
Well, I have only seen this one time, but that one time made quite an impression on me. And it is mainly because of, we're going to go through the movie. It is mainly because of, she has several regrets in the film, but one of her main regrets is her relationship with her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this once, and it wasn't right when it came out. It was probably the early 1990s. I was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected me to the point where from that point on, because of this movie, I dedicated myself to having a relationship with my grandparents.
Hmm.
And it really was a great thing and one of the things that I treasure most in my life. And I don't know that I would have done it necessarily. This movie was kind of the catalyst for me doing that. And it's the only time I'd ever seen it until today when I watched it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this is not a movie that I think boys watched.
No. I can't imagine it appealing to like teenage guys.
No, not at all.
Unless they were truly sensitive.
Well, maybe.
And liked seeing Kathleen Turner.
Well, yeah. I had a huge Kathleen Turner fetish.
So did I.
You did?
Oh, God. Romancing the Stone? Oh, my God. I loved everything she was in.
Yeah.
She just jumped the shark when she was Chandler's father on Friends. Then yeah. That was like, no, don't mock Kathleen Turner by making her pretend to be a guy just because her voice is low.
Yeah, with the deep, deep voice. It was that, and I don't know if you ever watched Californication.
Oh, no.
She was on that. It was more along the lines of her role on Friends. But in, like you said, in the 80s, from Romancing the Stone on, she was a heavy hitter as far as leading ladies in the 80s.
Oh yeah. And she was in everything.
Everything.
That started with what? Body Heat?
I guess. I was trying to think. That was the thing I think that made her famous. That kind of made her like this Sharon Stone type of actress.
Where yeah.
Body Heat was, it was a sexy thriller. There was murder involved. And she, instead of doing what Sharon Stone did with her, her career, became a box office smash.
Mm-hmm. Because she was allowed, like, especially in Romancing the Stone, she's funny. And in this movie, she's funny.
Yeah. She is hilarious. Yeah, and I saw, I don't know why, I think my mother had a copy of Body Heat when I was little. I saw Body Heat when I was little, which I should not have seen.
God.
But I don't know. There was Kathleen Turner was and still is one of my favorite actresses. I even had the movie theater where most of Neo's as worked. It was 1990 or 91. I want to say the movie V.I. Warshawski came out.
Yep.
And we had a big standee of that and a life size Kathleen Turner.
What?
Which I took home with me and ended up actually in my dorm room. At Kutztown University, who has a Kathleen Turner cutout in their dorm room?
Apparently you.
Just me. I love Kathleen Turner.
What happened to that cutout, Dave?
I don't know.
Is it in an attic somewhere?
No. I throw everything away. It eventually, I'm sure, ended up in a dumpster. Probably. You don't move that stuff around from place to place.
Yeah, it kind of breaks down.
It breaks down and at some point it's really important to you. And then like a couple years later, you're like, the hell with this thing. I'm tired of dragging it around and you get rid of it. So sorry, Kathleen, but she is fantastic.
Did you put her in your window?
No, it wasn't in a window.
Oh, okay.
It was like standing over my bed though.
It was your headboard.
That is a good name for like a band. Kathleen Turner is my headboard.
Yes.
Well, the movie starts right off with the Buddy Holly, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like Springsteen, you know, with all the women in his songs. And I think Peggy Sue was his girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I had forgotten the relationship for some reason between Nicolas Cage and Francis. I don't know why I went by Francis Coppola for this and not Francis Ford Coppola, but I had forgotten that he was his nephew.
Yep. Lot of nepotism in these films.
Yeah, and his daughter's in it. Sophia Coppola is the sister. She cannot act.
No.
She's
but
brutal.
To be a teenager, you don't have to.
Yeah, just for be that whiny. Role,
yeah. Like, wasn't she the baby in The Godfather? She didn't have to act there.
Yeah. She's brutal. But Nicolas Cage, I like I said, I've only seen this one time. How did he used to be so funny?
I don't know.
And how is he not anymore?
Because he's taking himself way too seriously.
I had forgotten how funny he was because, like I said, it was a long time ago. And I sat and enjoyed every word that came out of his mouth in this movie.
This movie and Raising Arizona, he makes me laugh.
Yeah, he was funny at first, I guess.
Mm-hmm, but then he did something. Oh, leaving? No. Was it Leaving Las Vegas?
Yeah, he did other stuff in between. Like he was in, he Moonstruck maybe.
Oh yeah,
Moonstruck was serious. That was the next year. That was like 87.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bit part in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Like he had been doing things, but he started super funny, and then became an action star, and now who the hell knows what he is?
Now he's Superman obsessed.
That's true. It's funny because my son and I have been talking about him a lot lately because we watch and if you haven't seen it, I'm sure if you're a Nicolas Cage fan, you have. There is a YouTube video of all of his best freakouts. Oh my God. It's like 8 minutes of just him going nuts in a million different movies. And we watch it from time to time. And my son, for his project, his final project for history, he and his friends wrote and filmed a prequel to National Treasure.
Oh, jeez.
Because it was a U.S. history class. And my son played Nicolas Cage in the thing. And he's like, I don't know how to do Nicolas Cage. So all he did was he did Andy Samberg's impression of Nicolas Cage. So we've been kind of obsessed with Nicolas Cage lately.
Have you seen the Nicolas Cage pillow?
No.
It's got like the sequins. And then when you wipe it a certain way, you see Nicolas Cage's face.
Love it. I would get that. I love it. Even the bad ones. It's fun to watch. We were watching Wicker Man the other day.
Oh, God.
So great. I mean, not great, but so great. But I digress.
Well, even in this movie, he chews the scenery a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it.
Well, from what I read, he does the accent. He talks, you know, like, I mean, it's so weird. And Coppola hated it. In fact, he didn't want him to do it. And Kathleen Turner hated it. The way he talks the whole time. And that high pitch, Peggy, you know, like the whole time.
Yeah.
But he makes it work. I mean, it's funny.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Francis Coppola is the director. Why can't he just say, do it or you're fired?
I don't know, because it's his uncle.
Still.
He didn't like it. And Cage, he according just put to what up I read, with it. And he talked him into it, and they ended up going with it. I think it works.
There are parts of it where it's just a little too fake.
It's too over the top for you?
Yeah. Did we break up? That's always bumpy.
Given
it's a real damn moment, because that's happened when you're like so upset and you're crying and everything and your voice gets stuck and you get a bubble of spit in your throat and you're trying to be like serious and shit and
he just plows through it. Yep, he's okay.
Just plows through, and they don't take another take. They just get through it.
They don't take another take, and he blows another line like a sentence later.
Yep.
And they kept all that. It's a good scene.
It's a very, you can see that he's very real with his emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had forgot, I didn't know Helen Hunt was in this. Helen Hunt, who has never been young to me, I think she was born with that face.
Oh, jeez.
And I looked it up. Kathleen Turner is only 9 years older than Helen Hunt playing her mother. And Nicolas Cage is 1 year younger
than Helen Hunt.
Than Helen Hunt, and he played her dad in this movie. Now, he has makeup on in the 1980, it's supposed to be 1985 scenes, but he's younger than Helen Hunt.
Yep.
Will Schreiner calls it out when they get to the reunion about one's a sister or one's, you know, how they look the same age.
Yeah. Because they practically are.
They are. And Joan Allen has always looked the same age, too, which I guess means she's good for something like this.
Oh, yeah.
They can throw a little makeup on her and she looks a little older in 1985. Joan Allen has always looked like an old lady.
Yes.
So they cast this well. I don't know about Will Schreiner. I mean, I don't really give a shit about it. Who cares about Will Schreiner?
Catherine Hicks.
Catherine Hicks had a big 1986 because it was this in Star Trek IV.
Yep. And Jim Carrey. I forgot Jim Carrey was in this movie.
Yeah. It's funny because you had just done Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And we just did Jim Carrey in Earth Girls Are Easy. So these people are like popping up a lot lately.
Yes, they are.
And there is no time that Jim Carrey will not take the opportunity to throw his arm back over his head.
Nope. Why not? Till he can't do it no more.
It does it the first time you see him. The other major character that you get to meet, I think it's a good way to introduce the characters, her getting ready and then going to the reunion, because you get to meet everybody. Mm-hmm. The other major character is, I forget the guy's name. He's Richard. He's the...
Norvik.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I only know that guy really from Saturday Night Fever. He's like a tragic guy in Saturday Night Fever, but he's the other...
Oh, is he the one that jumps off the bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's in Fame as
well.
Oh,
yeah, he is in Fame. I forgot about that. Good call. Yeah, I like that guy. And he's another pivotal character. So you get to meet everybody right away. I like movies that do that. And it seems like that happens a lot in some of these 80s movies. Because I know I've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
You are introduced to the cast pretty early. It's almost like a play. Like you get to meet everybody right off the bat. And then they'll go away and they'll come back. But I like the idea of at least we have our bearings in this movie.
Yeah, you know who's going to be important.
Yes. Well, she is getting divorced from Charlie, who's Nicolas Cage. And you get to see the outcomes of what you're going to be introduced to later. Richard is this computer geek and he's rich and he was bullied and is a nerd. She had a crush on Michael. Who?
Why? I don't know.
Can I ask you about the guy?
No.
He's an ass, right?
He looks like an ass, yes.
And there's this girl in the wheelchair. So you see her, that she's in a wheelchair, and you can tell the way Kathleen Turner looks at her that she's just got this look in her eye like she remembers when she wasn't. So you get in, and you also meet that the woman that they all hate. I don't even remember
Dolores.
Her name. It's like the woman is doing a podcast because she's recording everybody, but it's on a tape recorder.
Yeah. For what? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Who's going to listen recording? To this?
No one's listening to it.
No.
But they all hate her. So they name the king and queen, and it is Richard and Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
And she faints and wakes up in 1960. When you saw this for the first time, how old do you think you were when you saw it? You were a teenager, like you saw it when it came out?
Yeah. Well, shortly after it came out, when it was on HBO.
Okay.
So this came out in what, 95, 85?
85, 86.
86. So probably 87, 88 at the latest.
Okay.
So I would have been 15, 16. Oh, it would be 16. I know why. I was very obsessed with the 50s. I had all kinds of 50s stuff. We had a 50s diner that I used to love to go to. I used to borrow my mom's old 50s clothes. So I was obsessed with the 50s.
That's cool. Well, you have pointed this out, and I had never even noticed this pattern of everything going back 30 years. Like, you kind of taught me that. And when you look at it, you're absolutely right. In the 80s, everything was the 50s.
Mm-hmm. In the 90s,
everything was the 60s. So you're absolutely right about that. And this is an example of one of those things. I mean, this will come out the same year or a year later after Back to the Future. So this was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really noticed that. She wakes up in 1960 in her high school. I think it's an awesome transition. Actually, one of the best transitions is seeing Nicolas Cage then and seeing him in 1960 with that pompadour.
Uh-huh.
That hair is insane and I love it.
And it's no longer there.
That's true. He was, and I didn't even think about this, but the first time you see him, he is wearing kind of like a frayed Elvis looking jumpsuit. And then he's got the pompadour.
Oh, in the commercial.
In the commercial, yeah, in 1985. He's like an Elvis nut, right? So much so that he married his daughter.
Yep.
Didn't he marry her for like a week?
Yes,
Lisa Marie Presley?
Yes, he did.
He must have been loving every second of this.
Oh, yeah.
And Coppola does this thing, and he doesn't do it in a lot of shots, but he does it every so often, when they're outside. He puts this haze on shots.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it. It's supposed to make it look old, I guess. It's almost like cheesecloth-y at times. Really good, especially at the beginning, because you're wondering if this is still really happening. Is she dreaming? You don't really know. And I mean, we'll talk about it at the end as well. What is happening to her? Like, I don't think there's ever a solid answer.
They do say that she had a bit of a heart attack.
She did. But is she dreaming?
She's in a coma? She's in a coma.
Okay. Because at the beginning, there's a clue as to that this stuff isn't really happening, I guess, is that one of those balloons is in the hallway from the high school reunion.
Yeah.
And from what I read, it's a Mylar balloon, and Mylar wasn't invented until like the 1970s. So that balloon shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Well, one thing we were talking about his film work, what I kind of noted was I was really very acutely aware of what everybody was wearing to the reunion. It's all like muted grays and pinks and white and no stark colors, no bright colors at all. And that to me was kind of like weird because it was the 80s and everybody wore bright colors and none of these people are wearing anything like that.
Okay. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was very muted. All the colors were pretty muted. And then when you get to the 50s and they're driving around, all those cars are bright colors. Like that aqua-colored car that she gets into.
Yeah.
Everything's bright, 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 bright. And then it kind of like mutes a little bit and we get back into the grays and pinks. But then it just was interesting to watch the colors in this.
That's a good point, and I hadn't noticed that. It's almost like if you want to sit and analyze this, that these people in 1985 are depressed. They've had regrets. They're not, you know, they're in a gray part of their life. So that's what they're wearing. When you go back to high school, they were full of life and vibrant and had their lives ahead of them. So it's all colorful.
Yeah.
I didn't even thought about that. The costume designer got a best costume Oscar nomination.
Oh,
it was nominated. It was nominated for 4 Oscars.
Much deserved.
Yeah, including Kathleen Turner, because some of these scenes that'll happen where she is meeting her mom, which is Barbara Harris, and I love Barbara Harris. The hugging of her mom. Turner is excellent in these discovery scenes.
Yeah.
When she sees her sister, I was today tearing up watching this stuff.
Yeah, I was bawling like a baby.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
but she's excellent.
But I don't think her parents are dead. Her parents are still alive. But between that and the grandmother scene, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great stuff. And she deserved the Oscar nomination. It was the only one she ever got. And it was for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, it's a lot of stuff that they do in movies like this and even in Back to the Future, where you're getting references to things that happened back then. And that's always fun if they do it well. The first one is that she's watching Bandstand and there's that joke about the red M&Ms.
Yeah.
All those things are good. Her dad buys an Edsel.
Yep.
And she's half drunk, but she's laughing her ass out of him. These jokes to me still work. Did they work for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because they're not ridiculous. They're not out of context.
Right.
They're all part of, like, they're sitting down on a regular, you know, Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
Or evening. This is what you see. This is something your father would bring home.
And she's getting a kick out of this huge flashback that she's in the middle of. And I remember the red M&Ms. And they said that actually after this, because they were banned in 1976 for red dye number 2.
Yep.
And they brought them back after this movie. Because, I mean, if you say that to a kid now, they're like, what are you talking about? There's red M&Ms. There wasn't red M&Ms when we were little.
Nope, because that red dye would kill you.
All these things were great. They're even having, for dinner, they're having cream chip beef on toast. We used to eat that all the time when I was little. I don't know if that's like a...
Matt still eats it.
Does he?
Yep.
My dad used to call it SOS because he would eat it. They would serve it in the Army a lot. SOS. We're having SOS. And then finally, I asked what SOS stood for. And he said, it stands for shit on a shingle. That's what they feed him in the Army. I love all this old stuff. And I think the references work. She's singing My Country Tizzy at the top of her lungs in the class. And they think she's cutting up. They think she's being a smart ass. They're like, Peggy, you know, like they think she's being outrageous. She's not. She wants
she's
to sing.
She's sincerely like, enjoying singing it.
Loves it. It's great.
And then the nightmare of the test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Test. It's like, if I'm dying, why am I going to think about a math test?
Everything, the writing's great and the delivery's great on, you know, in front of and behind the camera. Really good stuff. Do you feel at this point, because she is sort of punishing Charlie,
mm-hmm.
really for the rest of the movie, because they are getting divorced. He has cheated on her. They're estranged. She's in a bad place as an adult. She's punishing Charlie. She's punishing young Charlie, who hasn't done anything wrong yet.
Yeah.
For the rest of the movie. Do you feel bad for him?
Sort of. Except part of me is kind of like, maybe she thinks if she does it now that she won't have to do it later.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. And it happens.
Yeah. He kind of ends up through a lot of this. This movie is interesting because at times, although she's our hero, she doesn't always act as heroic as she could.
No, she's reckless.
She's reckless and she's cruel at times.
Mm-hmm.
To him, he actually kind of ends up being the victim.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to pull off, and they do.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad for him. He's just a kid. He doesn't know. I mean, I guess they had this deal that they were going to break up, but then he didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because he genuinely loves her.
Oh, yeah. And you can see him just doing all this stuff. Now, given he has moments where he's like, I'm the man. No, dude. But at the same token, he just loves her so much that he wants to do anything he can for her.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing to do, and I think they do it. And she develops this relationship then with Richard because he is smart, and you do get to see them pick on him a little bit. But because Richard is smart, she starts in this whole time travel thing. I don't know how I feel about the time travel part of it.
I think it's her trying to be logical about it, because if you think about it, he even made the comment at the reunion that you were one of the few people that was nice to me. So yeah. Regardless, she would have been nice to him anyway.
Yeah.
And she knows what he's capable of about down the road. She can't explain what she's doing, how she got there. So the only thing she can think is time travel.
Yeah. I guess the thing I think that bothers me most is where we'll get to with the end with her grandfather.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only misstep in this movie. I wonder, and I couldn't find anything about it, I wonder if with the success of Back to the Future, that was somehow shoehorned in.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I don't like it. Because this movie works fine with it just her being in a coma or dreaming. That's a trope, to use one of your words.
Yeah.
That sometimes it just works and you just go with it. If the story is good and the acting's good, if that's the means to the end of it having to happen, I'm okay with it.
I think they were trying to figure out a way for her to interact with Richard more.
Yeah.
An excuse for why she would talk to him more.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think this movie could exist without Richard altogether.
I think Richard would have to exist in some plane. Because you need that dork. You need the nerd.
She needs someone to talk to.
You need to turn to the nerds. Just like the commercial. Turn to the nerd.
Well, she does.
She does.
He's a good sounding board, I guess. I think if he wasn't in this movie, the movie would still go off the way it does pretty much. He doesn't really do anything to help her.
No.
All right, because I do like this movie, that one thing bothers me, and it actually is sort of a big part of the movie. It just, I don't know, it's kind of disappointing.
Richard's burrito.
He's trying to explain to her what a burrito is. I had it once as a Mexican thing.
Yes, I know what a burrito is.
Yeah, dumbass, I know what a burrito is. I mean, I do like the relationship. I think it's good.
But
I don't know.
Is it necessary? Probably not.
And probably not. And then her grandmother calls. Ugh. And she won't talk to her. She can't even listen to her. She has to drop the phone and run. She'll call her tomorrow. I was crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't feel that way necessarily about her parents though, did she?
Well, because they're not dead.
Okay.
They're not
gone.
You think
that's the part of it.
Yeah, because I think in watching it again, because I thought at first, I thought, you know, she doesn't react to that like that to her dad at all, at right. all. She does a little bit to her mom. So you're kind of like, oh, maybe she doesn't have her mom anymore. But then it's just, mom, were you, I can't remember you being this young. I yeah. don't think. And they are in that last scene, just briefly, like a vision of them. As
in the
much,
hospital.
Yeah, much older. So they're still alive, whereas her grandparents are not.
Okay. You're right. I'm sure I bet you're right. Because I was wondering, well, she doesn't really care that much about her mom, but she probably sees her mom a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. That you're right. That's probably what it is. She can't even listen to her on the phone.
No.
And she's great. Like, yeah, it's really, really great performance. And in the middle of all this stuff, Cage gets to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was back further when he picks her up for school and he pulls out of the driveway.
Yes.
That was him pulling. Like, I would watch it again to see Kathleen Turner's face. That's like a stunt that he does. I wonder if he was even supposed to do that.
Francis shitting his pants going, oh God, this is a loner.
Nicholas.
Nicholas?
We only have one of these cars. You will not wreck it.
Okay, Uncle Frank.
And stop doing the voice.
But I like it.
He said he based it on Gumby.
What? Yeah. I can kind of hear that.
Why would you do that?
Peggy. And then he drops it. Peggy.
Everything he does is great. What is it when he picks her up later for the date and he comes to the house, he looks in the and he flips down the sun visor and I think it's Fabian.
Yes.
He's a picture of Fabian there and he's talking to Fabian. Feed me, charge me.
Make her love me.
Yeah, I love him. And he's got the great, like, I wrote it down. Where is it? Because she sees him right away and starts laughing at his clothes. Because she says, they're so 50s. And he says, what's the fun of being a teenager if you can't dress weird? And then after that, they sing that song. And they're good. I mean, they're okay.
They're okay, yeah.
She's falling back in love with him.
Yep.
And it's good. Because this whole thing is, whereas Back to the Future was what... One of the main themes was, what would you do if you could go back in time and meet your parents? Mm-hmm. The theme of this is, what would you do if you could go back in time and change your future?
Yeah.
Because they don't follow the Back to the Future rules in this. No. She doesn't care.
Nope.
She
doesn't care.
No, she is messing up the space-time continuum every second in this movie. And it's an interesting thing because at first she was kind of pushing him away and being cruel to him. And now she's falling back in love with this teenage version of him when he was pure and devoted to her.
Mm-hmm.
And they make out and she wants to have sex and he doesn't. Funny scene too.
Yes.
What's it called?
That's just awkward and just weird.
It's awkward if you're thinking of her as being an adult.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in general, he's just awkward.
Yeah. You mean my Huang?
My Huang.
My Huang. But they kind of end their evening, and she ends up with Michael, who is way more 60s than 50s. I mean, this movie does take place in 1960. We're going to talk about 50s stuff later. But really, this is like a 50s movie.
Yeah.
He's way more 60s. He's Kerouac and pot, and he's an idealist, and he's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Kevin J. O'Connor, right? That's that guy's name?
Yeah, this was his first movie.
He's awful. I remember him from The Mummy, and just awful. And I've never seen him do a good job.
Oh.
I can't stand that guy. But she likes him, I guess, because of that he's different. And she always had a crush on him and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She did do things differently in this movie.
She slept with him.
Yeah. And I think that could have gone a lot of different ways, but I think they keep it on track for the most part. I don't know. Yeah. I think between Michael and the time traveling, they're my only hiccups about this movie.
Yeah.
Because when she gets back with Richard, this is, I mean, I had to look this up because to me, this was something that was totally dropped, and it was. She, in the original script, she uses her knowledge of the future a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They had
She's
her.
She's the Biff.
Yes, she is the Biff with the sports almanac. And they do show it a little bit. And in the original script, she does invent pantyhose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mentioned, and you do see her with something that she looks like she's making on her bed, but they never really go into it.
Yeah.
In the original script, she had people investing in Xerox. She told her family to invest in Xerox. There was this other character who I don't think you ever really know her name, but she's in a wheelchair at the reunion. And you see her dancing on a table in that donut shop and she just kind of smiles. And you think, well, that's the end of it. She was remembering when she could walk. That girl was supposed to have a bigger role. She was supposed to be a gymnast. And Peggy and gets in an accident. Peggy goes to some lengths to stop the accident from happening, so she never ends up in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
I think these were good edits. I mean, the movie.
Yeah, it didn't really need it.
Yeah, this needs to be more about Peggy than these other people.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand this, and I gotta know what you think. Charlie finds out that she had gone out on the motorcycle with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he sneaks into her bedroom. Is he gonna kill her?
It kind of looks like it, yeah. Like he's like, maybe you can see like he's got a little bit of rage.
He's got a pillow and he puts it almost over her face like he's gonna smother her.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
No idea.
That was strange. Because after that is that basement fight that we were talking about. He blows his lines, but it's good. She breaks his heart.
Yeah.
She ends it with Michael after that. And I think everybody's happy. He wants to go to like Utah and he wants to be a polygamist with her. Like, what is that?
I know this chick.
That had me scratching my head.
I'll be writing and you can raise the chickens. No.
Yeah. That was all not really necessary.
Yeah.
But while she's there, she sees Charlie at this club singing with this R&B group and he's auditioning and he's actually pretty good. But he's turned down.
Yep. He's not gonna be a singer.
He's the victim of this movie. You really at the beginning of the movie you hate him because she's the good guy and he's done her wrong. By the end of this movie, I feel like I'm really pulling for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But still, that voice.
You can't get off the voice.
Jesus. I mean, I get over it because of Kathleen Turner, but
right.
Ugh.
Maybe he's doing it because he was supposed to be like, he was still a teenager and his voice hadn't changed yet because he could hit the high notes.
Maybe.
But he took it to an extreme because it's him and he takes everything to an extreme. And she talks to Richard one more time. She's going to change everything. She, you know, he even proposes, right? Doesn't Richard propose?
Richard does, yeah.
Yeah. She says no to him. She says no to Charlie. She says no to Michael. Like, she is saying no to everything. Mm-hmm. She is going to change the future and instead goes to her grandparents. And it's so sweet. And I think what makes it so sweet is how important it is to her.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
And they're sweet and caring.
They're great.
That you're like, oh, yep. This is why she would miss them.
Yeah. But then it gets weird.
Yeah.
Because the grandfather is in some kind of secret society, almost like the Masons. And they believe in time travel. Like, Is this, I guess what I was confused most about this is if she's in a coma or dreaming or whatever she is, did this really did her grandfather really belong to the society, or was her?
I think this was her imagination.
Okay, so this didn't really happen.
No.
Good. Because that was dumb. I didn't like that part at all. They go from being sweet and sitting around the fire, and she tells them what she believes, and they support her because they love her that much, and it's just so sweet. And then she's wearing some kind of gold shawl, and they're all wearing crazy purple fezzes. It's like really, really kind of dumb.
Yeah, that part kind of loses it for me. But I think it just gives you some excuse to get her away from Charlie, to have Charlie kidnap her and get her in the greenhouse. I mean,
yeah. And that's the major moment of this movie, is that locket, because as soon as she goes back in time, she doesn't really go back in time, but as soon as she wakes up, she doesn't have her locket and she's upset.
Yeah.
It's the locket, because he kidnaps her and he wants to change. He gives her the locket. He's ready to walk away from her even at that point, but the pictures are in it, and she decides at that point that they belong together, and it's the locket and what will be her children's pictures, although they're pictures of them, that make her understand that.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy.
And she wakes up and they reconcile, and she invites him over to dinner, mm-hmm. and they hug. It's a very sweet ending, and Cage does really well in the end. Like, when he's not doing the voice, like I think he turned it up here too.
I want to know where Scott is. The son. Where's the son? Beth is there. Did they not want to pay another actor to show up for 5 seconds? Nope.
That is true. They mentioned that there's a son, and they never
Scott
see him
and
once.
Beth. But you only That's see Beth. Weird.
He's at college or something.
His mother's in a coma. He can't come home.
Yeah, she mentions her kids. They should have both kids.
Show them.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't thought of that. You're right.
Yeah, that's just me. That's just me. But otherwise, I love this movie.
Yeah. And I read... In her memoir, I guess Kathleen Turner wrote some stuff about Nicolas Cage. He sued her. Did he win? He won, I think, didn't he?
I don't know.
I thought it said he did. Did she say in her book that he was arrested twice and that he stole a dog?
And that he bought himself flowers?
And he sued her for libel. So it's funny to see them hugging at the end, and they reconciled, and then find out that they probably hated each other's guts.
What was that? That was years later that she wrote the memoir.
Yeah.
she didn't hate him.
I think it's the voice. I think it all comes back to the voice.
She definitely hated him. I would have sued him for that voice.
You would have sued him too. But that's all I got. I mean, did I hit everything?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. Then we're ready for our reviews.
Okay.
And, I'll go first because okay. this was your John that you picked.
My John. It shows up on all of my best of five lists.
Peggy Sue Got Married?
It's shown up on several of my best of fives.
Okay. I would not have picked this, but I'm glad that you did. In 1990-something, I probably would have given it a 3 out of 5 because I do actually remember liking it. In 2019, I'm going to stick with the 3 out of 5. And to me, it's no worse. The thing that doesn't make it better, I think, is the end. I think if it was just a straight story without that nonsense at the end, it definitely would have improved. And I'm kind of surprised that I didn't rank it better, because this is the kind of movie that I would think would get better with age, because now we can understand her more than we did when we were teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we can understand where she's at. It holds up, but it probably... to me, should increase for most people our age. People in their 40s when they watched this, that watched it when they were teenagers, that was cute then, but now it's like, oh, I get it now. So it doesn't go down at all for me. I'm going to keep it the same because of the clunkiness of the ending.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you?
Probably in the 80s, I would have given it a 5 just because I loved Kathleen Turner that much. I think the weirdness of the ending does affect it. I just love so much of it. At the most, I'm going to go down to a 4.
Okay.
But I still love everything about this movie. Well, even the jacked up ending.
Even the jacked up ending. Yeah. I wonder, I'm sure you can get a Blu-ray copy of this with somebody doing a commentary. I would like to hear what the people who are involved in it thought of the ending. I wonder if there's any regrets. I just want to hear Nicolas Cage. That's all I want to hear. You know how everybody loves Keanu Reeves now?
Yeah.
I love Nicolas Cage.
I can't get there. There's something too batshit. At least Keanu's not crazy. Keanu's intense.
I love him too. But Keanu Reeves is becoming the new Betty White.
Oh.
You know, everybody loves Betty White. Betty White's so cute. Betty White can't do anything wrong. And that is where Keanu Reeves is heading. He is going to be on greeting cards.
Keanu Reeves is the Betty White of our time.
He is. I'm sticking with Nicolas Cage, and you must watch this YouTube thing of his best freakouts.
Okay.
In fact, I think some people like it, some people don't. What's it called? Watch Mojo. You know, they do all the lists on YouTube. They have one of Nicolas Cage's best freakouts, and they're good. Between Wicker Man and Vampire's Kiss and whatever the hell's going on in Face Off, also starring Joan Allen.
And John Travolta.
There's some weird stuff in this man's oeuvre, and it is all fantastic. So thank you for getting me in touch with more Cage.
You're welcome.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, there are several ways you can do that. One of them is on our Facebook page. And you know how to use Facebook. Type in the Greatys.
You just put your fingers on the keys and type. Sorry, I was channeling Kathleen.
Is that your Kathleen Turner impression?
Yes, Dave. David.
You sound like you're doing Herman Munster.
David.
Yes, Kathleen.
I like to go on various websites, including the Greatys on Facebook.
That was pretty good. You got a little salt. You got sultry at the end there.
Thank you, David.
Well, on there you will find all of our episodes, and we often ask you to weigh in on these. We'd like to know what you think too. It's not just us. We're idiots. Why are you listening to us? We want to hear what you say.
Tell us what you think of Kathleen Turner.
And Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God.
We're also on Twitter at the Greatys. Did you hurt yourself?
Yes, a little bit.
See?
My voice is not meant to go down that low.
That's what a talented actor like Nicolas Cage can do.
Pugger. Ooh, that was good. That was almost Cage-like.
That was pretty good.
That was his actual voice. That's the thing is, like, he's going to
Pugger.
Like, there you are, Nikki. There you are. Use that for the whole movie, please.
Nikki. Don't you dare. We also have a Patreon page where you can support us any way you feel comfortable. And for doing that, you also get access to exclusive episodes of our show and other podcasts that we do. We have lots of podcasts on NeoZazz, from anything from Star Wars to beer to travel to God knows what.
If you would like to make this a challenge, you can pay on Patreon $1 for every Nicolas Cage rant on that video. Send that to us.
That's funny. But it's patreon.com/neozazz for access to all that stuff. And at neozazz.com, you can also get access to all of our episodes on all of our different podcasts. We will continue this conversation next week as we cross over to one of our shows called The Best of Fives, where Chrissy and I will count up the best five movies set in the 50s that weren't made in the 50s.
Yeah.
This was a great idea.
It was a little more challenging than I thought.
But it's a good one. So, next week, tune in for that. And Christy, it's been a thin slice of heaven.
It's been a big old scoop of blueberry pudding.
Blueberry. Oh.
I'm a vampire! I know what this is! You're trying to stop me out because of this lazy little man you beat around! Well, vive la fucking France, man!
You mean my wang?